Good evening. You are listening to The Talking Show on Kaechung Radio, Chinatown's only...
Only.
...micro-broadcasting radio station. My name is Nicholas Miller, and I am at an undisclosed remote location away from Chinatown, talking with Steve Cato.
It's me, Steve Cato, talking to you from my office in MacArthur Park.
Right. We, Steve and I had lunch at a restaurant indoors a few minutes ago, but we can't, for some reason, go to Kaechung. It's against the rules.
It's against the rules.
I think that, you know, the talk, I mean, it seems like we'll be able to go back in soonish, right? In the grand scheme of lockdown.
Yeah, I don't have the same faith you do in that. I think we're likely to generate like a... Because the vaccine rollout is following the exact same sort of like class, economic, and racial lines as everything else in the course of the pandemic and indeed in American healthcare, we're going to see like a large reservoir of disease existing amongst a large portion of the population that is going to generate new crazy variants and we'll never be rid of this thing. Yeah. That's what I think is going to happen. So I think that, I think we'll never get to go back to Kaechung.
Right. Well, that does seem likely. Those lines you're talking about, the grooves are too deep at this point. I mean, like, who could imagine another path?
By the time they finally do actually vaccinate everyone, the vaccine will be ineffective against the thing it's supposed to be curing. This right. is my fear. So I don't know. That's what I think.
But it seems like for a entirely neoliberalized government, they'll just be a state of denial about it, right? They'll just say, okay, yeah. Everyone back to work. So how do you think you'll react to that when it's like, you know, society at large is accepting the...
I'm unemployed.
Well, except for your lucrative gig at Kaechung Radio when the administration there is pushing us to hit the studio. What's going to happen, yeah. Steve?
Mandatory reopening.
Kaechung.
Yeah, no, it's true. I don't know. No one can catch me. you have to find me first, folks.
A rare Pokemon, Steve Cato.
Yeah, I don't know, man. What a bummer. I would give anything to socialize as normal.
Right.
Dang. But I guess not anything. Because I'm not.
Yeah, you could risk your respiratory health.
Yeah. Yeah, I was talking to a friend of mine in Toronto because it was her birthday. I was wishing her a happy birthday. And she and her partner had gotten COVID.
Ooh. How are they?
It sounded shitty. They're fine-ish, but it sounds shitty. It sounds real bad. So don't get it. You yeah. know, if you are like, I'm bored. Why don't I fucking go for it? I say don't. That's what I say.
Yeah.
Don't go for it.
No, there's not much to go for anyway. If you don't have to go out to work. These days, I can't imagine. I have not received an invitation in the last year that beckoned me. Too yeah. strongly. That wasn't work related, I guess I should say.
Yeah.
But yeah, it has not. As a non-essential worker, I have not been compelled to leave the house.
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough to leave the house. Right. I left the house today and it was very windy.
Yeah, yeah. There was one of the palm trees near our house attacked the house by shedding its remains from a good 200 feet in the air.
Yeah, these Santa Ana winds are crazy. They're like, you know, even if you yourself are not affected by like the demon pollen or whatever in them, you know, they'll like take out your palm tree and it'll be attacked from above.
Oh, I hadn't, for some reason I hadn't realized these were the Santa Ana, because I have been having insane sinus issues. The monster pollen really gets me going.
You know, I think this is a symptom of like Angelino Evertime, you know, where you kind of get stuck in the idea of it being one season ish mm-hmm. forever. And you forget that like literally every February this happens.
Yeah.
And every June, late May, you forget that June gloom happens. Like I'm always like shocked that this is happening. And then I'm like, no, this happens every year. Like every year it gets like real windy for a little bit, generally, you know, and everyone feels nuts, and does crazy stuff. And then it's over.
I know. I found myself 2 days ago looking out the window, just angry at the wind. Like, who are you? Who are you? I have an anti-immigration policy when it comes to the winds from the south.
Man, that's hilarious. Yeah. And you were like, this doesn't happen every year.
Yeah, I was looking at my phone, you know, I hail from Dallas, Texas, which is currently like -5 degrees Fahrenheit. Neither my brother nor my parents have power.
Oh,
and
no.
I was thinking, is
everyone okay?
I think so. They're just very cold. They're not really used to that. Very few people in the United States are used to that kind of weather.
Well, I don't know, man.
I think like Montreal and stuff, sure.
There's like Michigan.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone in Michigan, everyone in Illinois, everyone in, you know, Colorado probably.
Yeah, maybe. I guess
Maine.
So.
People in Maine are used to that. People in Maine do that all the time. Alaska?
I was going to guess that there'd be better infrastructure for these things there, but I...
There is, yeah. That's factually true. Yeah.
But I was just thinking, yeah, this is the time, like everyone in my family, you know, in the fall is like, why on earth do you live in California? It's always on fire. And then I was like, well, then this is the time of year where I get to look back eastward and kind of smile, you know? I
mean, like, yeah.
Okay, well, enjoy the freeze-in.
Yeah.
It's 65 here. But then, like you said, out of nowhere, these winds come and...
Devil wind.
Yeah, the devil wind comes up. Oh gosh,
it is crazy. It does like make people crazy, I think.
This is what Joan Didion says. I feel crazy. I don't have any reason to disagree with her.
Yeah, my spouse and I had a wild fight that I think was largely wind based in origin.
Was the subject the wind?
No. Fair not enough. Re-wind fight.
Yeah.
But, you know, like we almost never actually have like fights.
Sure.
So I feel like it's quite rare. And therefore I took notice. And then the day after that, someone went absolutely berserk and drove their car through all the parked cars in our neighborhood. Which is some severe Santa Ana wind behavior.
Yikes.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you think your sinuses are bad, don't take that rage out on the vehicles of your neighbors.
Right. Well, you know, we could blame this terrible pandemic situation and wind situation and freeze situation on so many things. But as I think our guest is going to help us to understand tonight, we do not have the proper lens through which to understand these social and natural problems. So I think we should just get straight to it. So all of you who are frustrated with the surrounds, with the things in the news, we're going to give you the tools to think straight through that bullshit. Okay, without any further ado, Brother Theodore.
My friends, I'm here tonight to show you the way. I'm here tonight to share a great truth with you. I'm here tonight to dehypnotize you, to free you from a deadly collective obsession. I'm a voice for those who dare not speak. I'm a cry for hearts that suffer in silence. And I'm here tonight to tell you what needs to be told. I feel an itch for public service, and I've got to scratch it. In this best of all possible worlds, everything is in a hell of a mess. Everyone knows it. Everyone has a different explanation for it. But all these explanations are bunk. Not money, or the lack of it. Not the atom bomb, or the hydrogen bomb, or the cobalt bomb are responsible for our plight. Not capitalism or socialism, not militarism or pacifism, not cannibalism or ventriloquism. None of these are to blame. None of these are at fault. They are mere symptoms, they are mere manifestations of an evil that is deeper rooted. The true cause of our problems and pains, the basic cause of our headaches and heartaches, and torments and turmoils and calamities and crimes, the real cause has been hidden from us, hidden by the very men who are supposed to enlighten and protect us, the medical profession. I accuse medical science. I say medical science is a fraud, an organized system of ignorance. I say medical science is a conspiracy, a premeditated idiocy. Its practitioners have betrayed us. Every day they give us a new theory. Today contradicts yesterday, tomorrow will wipe out today. A torrent of trash, a Niagara of nonsense. After 10,000 years, we are still living in an age of pills and legalized butchery, of blood analysis, urine and psychoanalysis, of toenail and dendriff analysis. An army of know-nothing, hair-splitting, fee-splitting specialists is at war with an army of ailments. And the ailments bloom, and the specialists prosper, and the patients die. Unless kept alive at the point of a gun. You are being murdered, my friends, day after day as long as you live. Never ask for whom the grave is dug. It's dug for you. You are in walking distance of your grave. But you can't see it. Tears shed by your left eye are blinding your right eye. Tears shed by your right eye are blinding your left eye. Wake up! We are not suffering from a million or more diseases, but from one disease and one only, the hidden disease, the original, the fundamental disease. And it cannot be cured by chemistry or surgery, by skullduggery or blackstrap molasses. Let the doctors examine themselves. Let them have a good look at their own distorted, two-legged, upright position. They stand erect on their hind legs, but can they think straight? Their spines are caving in, their livers have putrefied, their discs have slipped, their sciatica is dislocated, their noses have bulbified. What do these learned garbage cans, these boil catchers and abominationists, these troubadours of diarrhea and constipation, what do these sinister fools, these hand-picked morons, what do they know about quadrupedism, about four-leggedism? Less than a jellyfish knows about Beethoven's ninth. Back, my friends, back, I say, back to the position nature gave us in the beginning. Down, down, I say, down on all fours. In these days of darkness and doubt, of crisis and confusion, what the world needs is a truly great soul. I am that soul. I'm a thinker of thoughts. I see the relationship between things that are utterly unrelated. I'm a cosmodynamic personality walking in beauty and eternal youth on all fours. On record covers, I look like a pile of mud, but that's only because photography is still in its infancy. I am what you might call a controversial figure. People either hate me or despise me. They would rather shake the devil by the tail than shake me by the hand. But with every failure, my reputation grows. I speak to the misguided, to the befuddled and bepiffled ones, to those upright pillars of pain who are born in misery and die in sorrow, to those pathetic yokels who stalk about on their hind legs and call themselves masters of the earth. I speak to you. Wake up! It's hard to break with tradition and give up your prejudice. I know that. But what has walking on two legs done for you? It has changed you into flotsam and jetsam. It has thrown you into an orgy of self-destruction. It has made chaos the law of your life, and loneliness and despair and the imbibery of schnapps the pattern of your existence, a shadow existence, a death in life, from womb to tomb, anguish, from cradle to crypt, tears. Your body, your mind, your soul cry out for help. You swallow another pill and say, shut up, body, shut up, mind, shut up, soul. But they won't shut up. Fungus, decomposed protein, scrofula, disgruntled liver bile wriggle their way into your blood. Cripple your anatomy, mutilate your metabolism, causing spaghetti deficiency and crumbling of the T-bone, leading to overweight and adultery, opening the door to lockjaw, housemaid's knee, and compulsive, uncalled for laughter. You want health. Do you have it? You long for love. Do you have it? You yearn for peace. Do you have it? Your way of life has failed you time and again. Might it not be wise to try another way? My way, nature's way. Back, my friends. Back, I say. Back to the position nature gave us in the beginning. Down, down, I say. Down on all fours. And look your neighbor straight in the eye. Or are you more interested in booze and a loaded dice? In two-legged beastliness and promiscuity? Your forefather wasn't. Early man wasn't. Early man stayed right in his cave, rubbing elbows with early woman. And the average early man in the street, walked on all fours and was proud of it. Won't you try it? The sublime bliss of quadrupedism, the unspeakable joy of four-leggedism. I need fellow crusaders. I need you, my friends, with your splendid intellects. The world needs you. Your loved ones need you. Won't you help me? Help you, help them. I can't do it alone, friends. I'm not the reincarnated Joan of Arc or something. I'm just plain folks. Oh, my brothers, my sisters, my countrymen, my countrywomen, are you going to put it off till it's too late? Till the Russians come up with it? By your apathy, by your complacency, by your two-legged indifference, you have made this beautiful, wide, wide world an insult to creation. You have made it the dung heap of the universe. Let me read you an article from the Woman's Daily Digest. It is entitled, What Has This World Come To? Let me read it to you verbatim, my friends, just as I found it bound and filed in the pornographic division of the New York Pornographic Library. Here it is, and I quote, A young man of good character and solid background visits a local dive, the Dirty Shame Cafe. There he finds liquor and lipstick and laughter and song, also cigarette spittle and two-legged entertainment. After a while, 15 beers under his belt, his money spent, his morals impaired, he's kicked out of the joint. Bleary-eyed, belching, spewing, cussing right and left, he gropes his way home. All right, Ma, he says, dish out the dough and make it snappy. I've got to get back to the dancing school. Come on, old rattlesnake, get going! And he kicked her below the belt. His mother, a widow, poor but respectable, a lady every inch, declines. The young man gives a short laugh. Brr, ha, brr, ha, 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 brr, ha, brr, ha, brr, ha, brr, ha, whoo! Then he grabs a gun and runs out again, determined to re-enter his hell-soaked paradise, money or no money. His mother hobbles after him, puts her hand on his arm in restraint. He brushes her off. The friendly old mailman passes by. He stops and quotes from the Bible. But the young man, frenzied by lager beer, puts a bullet through his noodle. A couple of kids stand around, watching the scene with interest. He slays them just like that. Then he bumps off the washroom attendant. Also, a television repairman, a Freemason, and the dentist next door. Heads, arms, legs, kneecaps, eyeballs, armpits, eardrums, hemorrhoids, asteroids are rolling in all directions. His mother swoons. Too late. 3 hours later, she's dead of leprosy. What a day. End of article. Now, don't get me wrong, friends. Walking on all fours is not going to transform you into another person. It will in no way change your identity. But it will help you achieve the success you so richly deserve. It will propel you to heights undreamed of. It will make you a race of rulers. It will make you a breed of kings. It will fulfill your fondest expectations. Now, what exactly does fulfill mean? It means to fill full. That's what it means in a nutshell. Up to now, your life has been a long, dim twilight trance, interrupted by occasional fits of panic and confused activity. The vital spark, the zest of life, is missing. Let me be your dexedrine. Let me direct you and quicken you. Let me instruct and exhort you. Let me pump purpose into your bloodless veins, hope into your hopeless hearts. Let me be your sword. Let me be your flame. Let me be your Valentine. At this point, I should like to debunk one of your pet superstitions. We do not hear with our ears. I repeat that. We do not hear with our ears. Our ears are mere window dressing, as useful as a glass eye at a keyhole. Man hears with his left hind leg. That upsets all your grammar school notions, doesn't it? I don't want you to accept it on my mere say-so, but consider this. Can a fish hear? Of course he can. Not with his ears. Fish have no ears. They hear with their tails. Dr. Helmut von Quatschkopf, noted German explorer, philosopher,
metaphysician and podiatrist, conducted an interesting experiment along these lines. Von Quatschkopf put some ordinary run-of-the-mill goldfish into an ordinary run-of-the-mill goldfish bowl filled with ordinary run-of-the-mill tap water. And then he proceeded to shout threats and insults at the fish. Verfluchte Fischsau! Euch hat man wohl in die Muffe gepufft! Affenfisch! Schweinefisch! Hurenfisch! Ich lasse mich nicht von euch verfumpfeizen! In den Mülleimer mit euch, dass es nur so kracht! Unwiderruflich! Erbarmungslos! You should have seen the fish after a couple of weeks. They were bitter fish. Peaked, peeved, miffed, huffed fish. Discontented and disgruntled fish. They would sulk easily. They would bathe in tears 3 times a day and 7 times on Saturdays. They would pollute beaches. They would laugh like crocodiles. Fish do hear. With their tails. After all, fish are just like other people, except that they are fish. Back, my friends, back, I say, back to the position nature gave us in the beginning. Down, down, I say, down on all fours, without any further ado. Adulously! Dearly beloved, believe me, walking on all fours is no pipe dream, no utopia, no metaphysical goulash, no pie in the sky. I didn't dream it up or stir it up with a stick or something. Walking on all fours is a fact, a glorious fact, a reality more real than a reality. It is living as nature meant you to live, with your vertebrae held horizontal from east to west, with your posterior pointing to the North Pole, the mariner's guide. With your belly button as a center of gravity, transmitting poise and popularity to all the parts of your body. Walking on all fours is a real McCoy. It is worth its weight in gold. It is too indescribably delicious. Hallelujah. But you can't be wishy-washy about it or namby-pamby. Compromising won't do. You can't just say, let George do it, or let brother Theodore do it. Let him walk on all fours. I've got arthritis. Oh, no. And walking on three legs won't do either. It's whole hog or nothing. You can't learn how to swim unless you get into the water and drown. Merely listening to brother Theodore doesn't make you a quadrupedist any more than going to a garage makes you an automobile. Brother Theodore doesn't grow on every bush. You can't pick the cherries out of his pie and reject the thorns of his roses. Don't you want to score a victory over your lower nature? Don't you want to get the four-legged know-how? Let me tell you, friends, we still are friends, are we not? Or at least very good acquaintances. Well, let me tell you, very good acquaintances. Quadrupedism produces electromagnetic charges in your body. It unblocks the kidney stew and stimulates the carbon dioxide in your lungs, which turn to brewer's yeast. You have attained the logamundidi, the logadeidili of the gugu. You sit back and enjoy that glorious, that peppy, that luxurious feeling that goes with regularity. Fair enough? Accept me. Follow me. I am not of my rocker, and I am no quack, no cultist, no charlatan. My intentions are honorable. I want to save you. All of you, from the most vomitory fate that has ever threatened humankind. Extinction!
Can't you see where we are headed? This is the end of the line. The insects are about to wipe us off the map. They are ready to take over. We stand at the dawn of the insect age. What do you think of that? Just imagine the tsetse fly running things. Or the praying mantis. Is that what you are after? Is that what you are sending your kids to college for? Or do you think you are immune to extinction? Because you are so clever, so cute, so essential to the music of the spheres. Well, once upon a time, another crowd felt that way too. About 100 million years ago, the dinosaurs had everything their own way. They thought they knew all the answers. They thought they could hear the grass growing. Maybe they could. But according to Pfitzen and Bokanovsky, their social life was a disgrace. They changed their sex every other month and used profane language. And at the age of three, at the very tender age of three, they would go steady in no uncertain manner and bring forth eggs as large as footballs without benefit of clergy or city hall. Extinction! That's what they asked for. That's what they got. They were among the first to get up and waddle about on their hind legs, which made them so smug, so sissified, so self-absorbed, they wouldn't even neck anymore. It was too much bother. Not that I care. I can't figure out what they saw in each other in the first place. I don't go for dinosaurs. Maybe I've met the right one yet. And anyway, where are they now, those parasites? And where is Sodom? Where Gomorrah? Where Patterson, New Jersey? Ah, my very good acquaintances. Mother Nature can get terribly nasty when she puts her mind to it. My, oh my. Wake up. Join Brother Theodore's happiness campaign. Smash the drugstores, hang the pill pushers, slaughter the surgeons, exterminate the cuckoo analysts. Only when the last Freudian has been strangled with the entrails of the last Jungian, only when the last endocrinologist has been drowned in the blood of the last gastroenterologist, only then will there be a new life for us, an earth redeemed. And on it we shall dance, truly dance, as we have never danced before, to the heartbeat of our great Mother Earth, caressing her on all fours. Beast men! Beast women! And your tortured bodies, your anguished souls, will be at peace at last. Down into action! Forward! March! Our goal, Washington! Our end, compulsory quadrupedism! Our battle cry, sanity marches on! Back, my friends, back to the position nature gave us in the beginning. Down, down, I say, down, 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 on all fours. And if you happen to grow a tail, wag it.
Vav. Oh, that was great.
Yeah. Wow. That was a USDA prime chunk of talking that we had evaded us for a good decade.
Yeah, it's true. It's nice to know there's still talking out there that we haven't actually poked or perused yet.
Yeah,
and also
famous talking too.
Yeah, yeah. He talked on Letterman, talked all over the place. And I mean, also, I think probably from the sounds of the medical advice being on offer, it's amazing that he was not scooped up to be like put in charge of coronavirus relief.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, clearly the social distancing didn't work out. I mean, obviously it could have if it was done properly. But, you know, part of the job is to assess what can practically be done, right?
Right.
You and could be like, to everyone also, like, put their head underwater for their whole year. Yeah, that's not going to work.
Specific sort of, you know, like, obviously there's like, you know, like, you need someone who can think outside the box.
Exactly.
And everything in the box is just this one, these sets of solutions that, you know, we have maybe that works in New Zealand, but it doesn't work in America.
Yeah.
Because we have the highest death rate of any country. And if we had all just reverted to quadrupedism.
Yeah. Yeah.
We would have none of those problems.
No. I mean, it'll turn out that COVID just lingers like around 6 feet, 5 to 6 feet in the air.
Yeah.
And if we'd all been crawling around this whole year, it just would have been some meaningless cloud for only the people trying to stand upright. I mean, how many pets are getting it? Not that many, right?
Yeah. Well, also, how many pets get tested? Exactly my point.
True.
But I do hear that cats and dogs can get it, actually.
Yeah, I've heard that too.
But anyway.
And gorillas.
Oh, that's true.
I also heard about gorillas.
What a shame.
I wish that we were in the studio with Brother Theodore.
Yeah, me too.
I don't know to which monastery he belongs. it must be a riot.
Were you getting like Cistercian vibes or like Dominican? That's like a sort of you're like a lapsed Catholic, right? What kind of vibe is he giving off, do you think? Jesuit?
No, I used to go to Catholic church when I visited my grandmother in Palm Springs. But I mostly marveled at how everyone wore like linen, you know.
Right.
Because it's a desert. And I didn't grow up in the desert, so I was just perplexed.
Yeah, how breezy everyone's outfits were.
Exactly, and how low-buttoned the old men's shirts were.
Chill.
And jewelry, you know. I feel like the wealthy men of that generation wore a lot more jewelry.
It's true. There was a time for men to wear, like, multiple rings and, like...
And big heavy necklaces.
A neck chain. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you would have the rings because you would be a member of several like fraternal orders and like an Air Force division or something like that, right? Like,
yeah,
you'd have like a ring that for being a Freemason, and your wedding ring would be like, you know, like the size of a golf ball.
And where I grew up in Dallas, I feel like a lot of, you know, men my dad's age had like, a ring for where they played football, a ring.
Right.
Where they went to college, because often they were the first person, you know, first generation in their family to go to college, and then a wedding ring. So there's at least three, you know.
Yeah, yeah,
And then one of I worked at a laboratory, and my boss had won the Super Bowl, so he had a Super Bowl ring.
No way.
Yeah, yeah. He was a funny guy.
From Super Bowl to science?
I shouldn't say was. I think he's still around. Is a funny guy. His name's Bruce Huther, and... Uh-huh. He is enormous, as you would guess. And he, I think he really wanted an education and didn't come from means and was, had this physical
ability. Played college ball for a while. Right.
Yeah. And then he got drafted and thought, well, you know, I'll give it a try. And I don't think he played very much, but he got put on the Dallas Cowboys, who happened to be great. And he said he was the only one on the team that went to college in the summers. Like, he was just getting, pursuing his master's in like biochemistry or something in the off season.
Cool.
And like, you know, just like did, you know, made a ton of money for a couple years or enough money. And then, so then when he left his chemistry degree, unlike most people who went and found jobs, he just opened his own lab.
Because he had the money. He didn't need the funding.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's cool. That's like kind of the way it's supposed to be, right? Like, I feel like sports in general, especially as the money gets better and better, kind of warps people into making terrible choices. It's like, you're a young person, and right now we're asking you to do something that will probably damage your body for life.
Yeah.
You know, like, regardless of how this pans out, regardless if you do actually get injured, you know, you're just going to, like, do something kind of unsustainable for a short period of time on Earth.
Yeah. And we can pretty much guarantee it'll be 5 years. Like, 5 years is pretty much as long as you're going to get to do this.
Yeah, it depends on the sport, maybe. But, yeah, like, 5 to 10 years, let's say, right? And you will have this career for an amount of time, and then after that you'll be in chronic pain forever, and you will have acquired only like the ability to do this one weird skill, but you were loved briefly by the people. So sort yourself out. Are you okay now? Are you like? Did you turn into a good guy? You know? Did you turn? are you a wholesome, well-rounded individual? Like, I can see how in lots of cases the answer is no. You know, like, so it's cool that yeah, your ex-boss had like a life beyond sport.
Yeah, I'll use this as a moment to plug my favorite television show of late, called Ted Lasso.
Oh, I've heard that's good.
Yeah, it's surprisingly good. I mean, I watched it because it's about, you know, an American, like, second-tier college football coach gets hired to coach an English Premier Soccer League team.
I see.
You know, and the owner...
the fish out of water premise.
Yeah, American, you know, Americans trying to understand soccer, that appealed to me. It ends up not being too much about soccer, but the radical... angle of the show is he just actually cares about the well-being of the players, like not just their physical state, but like, you know, how's your relationship, this kind of stuff, which of course is just seen as like completely backwards, you know, given the profit motive and ideals of the sport and the league. So ends up being the most charming part about the show is not the confusion of the two games called football. But instead the coach as like a caring, surrogate father figure is the really, really supposed to be the the opposite of what is supposed to happen. It's a touching show.
Cause it's like, I imagine that, well, like American pro team sports are the coach is basically like the stand in for the plantation boss.
Yeah.
Right. Like
course.
it's essentially like, sort of like a weird kind of gladiator combat pit fighting in a plantation context. Whereas like in Europe, lots of organized sport is just like some sort of bizarro Swiss money laundering front, which is like definitely the case with FIFA, right?
Yeah.
And like, and fully the case with like professional cycling and there's not enough money in squash, so I think that it's largely pure, actually. Weirdly. There's just not enough money to launder. But like, I learned today that like the minimum wage of a pro because it's European, there's minimum wages for pro cyclists. And if you're on a good team, or like if you're in like a world tour team, the minimum wage is $2.3 million a year.
Okay.
So it's like, it's a lot of money, but it's not a lot of money compared to like lots of other sports.
Sure.
But you're also just like, yeah, you're the guy, you're just like a guy on the team. So you're like the best cyclist for miles and miles around, you know, like if you lived here, like, you know, you'd be legendary, you know, I'd be like, well, right. Like, Strava stats are incredible. But like at the same time, you know, you're not winning any yellow jerseys or anything like that. You're like the guy whose job it is on the team is to like create wind resistance for the third best guy on the team,
yeah.
And to like drop back and pick up water bottles from the team car and,
like,
and then
like blow bad air at the opponents.
Yeah. And like distribute them to your other teammates when their water bottles are empty.
Mm-hmm.
This is your job. Crazy. So it's like, and maybe not even race in every race, you know, that's the other thing too. So you're the one who does like the on the team who has to like do the like lesser race in like Quebec City.
I see.
You know, and everyone else on the team takes like Tour de France. You know, like nine truly best guys on the team do the Tour de France, and you and your friends.
Yeah, we need you to go do run. The Le Pain Quotidien race in
Seriously.
Austin, Texas. Well,
like, the funny part is that like I did also look at how many races they do the team does every year, and it's truly insane. It's like they are like on bikes all year round, and they're like, you're going to Guangzhou next, like for the Tour de Guangzhou. Yeah. And like that's a thing, you know, but like the Lance Armstrongs of the world, the like Chris Froome's, what's the new guy's name? Primo Roglic. Mm-hmm. Those guys don't really get out of the van in Guangzhou.
No, they don't even go probably. Well, we're going to have to come up with a whole new slew of sports as the world transitions into the quadrupedal stance for the rest of what will probably be a very brief human history. Yeah. Good morning, Chinatown.